Today on Real Life Radio.
Even people living today have not heard what you've heard. And this is the danger. Listen, you and I have the ability to pick up this Bible and to read secrets from the mind of God.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Evidence. Our world demands it. We want evidence for the Bible, evidence for Jesus. And in our infinite cry for the truth, we want proof that God is real and Jesus is who he said he is. It's why we're so excited to make available for you our current featured resource. It's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World. It's by Josh and Sean McDowell. A trailblazer for truth, Josh McDowell has been at the forefront of cultural trends and groundbreaking ministry for over five decades. Now, together with his son Sean, they've completely updated and expanded a modern classic for a new generation. The McDowells will provide you with insightful responses to the Bible's most difficult and misused passages. Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Life-Changing Truth for a Skeptical World, by Josh McDowell and Sean McDowell. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled Checking In. This series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now we'll continue in chapter 10. We're sure to love the reaction of the 70 workers that Jesus sent out to share the good news of salvation. You see, the ministry of Jesus was expanding. He told the 70 to pray for those they would minister to, and they did, they prayed. He told them to announce that the kingdom of God has come to this world, and they announced his arrival to all who would listen. It really did fill those 70 people with joy over what they'd experienced, and they were eager to check in and tell the Lord all about it. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that it's not what you know, but who you know. With Christ comes privilege and a new kind of happiness. It's not a happiness that only lasts for a season, but a happiness that both fills us up and completes us. Now, with his message called Checking In, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus Christ, when he's listening to the report, yes, yes, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Yes! And they're talking, and Jesus, and this happened, and this happened, and that happened, like kids coming home from the toy store, you know? And this and that, and Jesus began to go like this. It began to come up from the inside and out of him, and he began to move. Yes! Can you imagine Jesus Christ bouncing in his robe? Yes! 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 You say, you're kind of out of control there, Pastor. I can't. I'm not even doing it for fear of you, what the word means. He was over the top excited. You say, what in the world is going on? Listen, get used to it. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, and I love this verse, and we need to memorize this verse because it challenges our understanding of God's nature in our heart. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in the midst of you, the mighty one. He will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness, and he will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Do you know what those words rejoice there mean in Zephaniah? Guess what? He will jump and spin with singing. Who will? The Lord. When? When we get to heaven. Now, we will too. We're going to be going, I can't believe I made it. I can't believe I made it. He's going to say, I saved you from the foundations of the world. I saved you at the cross. And we're all going to be going, oh, man. And you know what? I know we're pretty conservative, but it is really going to be Pentecostal there, I take it. He will spin about. He will sing. What does God sound like when he sings? I don't know, but we're going to like it. It is going to be amazing. Understanding. And he's revealed them to babes. This is a great word too. The word means that they were innocent. They were not complicated. The word here in the Greek is infants, but it means more than that too. The word that he used here is not a whiny child. It's not a child that is troublesome. The word means a content child. It means a child that is observant, a child that is full, an infant. Now, you ever have a little baby around? When they're nursed and all diapers are changed, they're all tanked up, they're warm, they're happy. Have you ever seen a little kid? It's just, look at the face on them. And that's when they start doing their little sounds, when they're all really happy, when it's just right. This is the word that Jesus used here. They're just, everything's just right. Lord, you revealed yourself to those whose hearts, they're simple. They're open. They can be taught. They're content. They're willing. And Jesus said, I thank you for that. Now, I don't know, but this is what God did. And it makes me wonder that verse 21, if it doesn't just put salt right in the eyes of Satan. Do you guys remember what Satan's fall was? Why he fell? It says it in the Bible, you know. It says that he lifted himself up in his own heart and pride came into him. Pride. Well, here you have Jesus taking 70. He sends them out. This is the future of what you're sitting in right now. And for ages to come, should the Lord tarry. He sends out 70 to expand the kingdom. And what are they? Movers and shakers, corporate executives, geniuses, Bill Gates of the world, Albert Einsteins of the world. They're 70 infant, simple believers. And Satan had to freak. Remember, he's full of pride. He's got to be thinking, that's great. He's handing the keys to the kingdom to a bunch of kids. Don't you? I'm wondering now. I can't prove any of this, what I'm going to say here right now. Could it be that part of Satan's frustration to this moment is that God would entrust to just people the care of the church until he comes back, the preaching of the word of God, evangelism, reaching the world? By who? By a bunch of well-polished people? Give me a break. He sent out 70 guys who didn't know a thing to take on Satan's lieutenants and colonels. This is awesome to me. I understand this better now. I need to rejoice in my weaknesses because it causes Satan to go crazy. He's got to be biting his claws. What's going on? He leaves the keys of the kingdom to a kid. And then he thinks about you. And then you get on your knees to pray. And you're going to share with your neighbor. And it's got to drive Satan nuts. No wonder why he tries to ruin us through all kinds of means. Interesting. We need to be careful. Please don't misunderstand me. Christians should be the smartest people on the planet. God gave us a brain. We should study. We should use it. We should grow. And we should know things. But there's a difference in acquiring knowledge without experience. That'll mess you up. Paul said too much learning will destroy us. He said that knowledge puffs up. We got to put it into practice. You can learn all you want, and that's good, but you got to do what you know, and that keeps you level. And this has got to drive Satan crazy. Nursery gone wild. These guys are all out there sharing the Lord, and Satan's kingdom's getting kicked. Man, I like that. Access. New relationship with Christ means that with Christ comes access. Verse 22, all things have been delivered to me, Jesus says, by my Father. Wow. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father. This is a reference to eternity. It's very deep, very heavy. This is the eternalness of God. And who the Father is except the Son. But watch this. And there's an and here. The one whom the Son wills to reveal the Father. This is an amazing thing. God, the mind of God, God to God, so to speak, face to face, eternally, forever. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? It is an impossible thing to fathom God, and that's true. Nobody knows the Son but the Father, the Father, the Son. But there's an inside track to those who know him. Who are those? The ones who the Son wills to reveal him. All I can tell you is this. God knows exactly who's going to say yes to his message. He knows exactly those who are going to say no to his message. Before time ever began, it is very, very clear that God knows all things. You can't learn anything. And the Lord knows. You say, well, if the Lord knows, then is he going to send me to hell? No, no, no. Bible's very clear. You're responsible for your own choice. You want to go to hell? Go to hell because you want to go there. Well, I want to go to heaven. Okay, well, then accept the Son and you'll have the Father. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then you're going to hell. Who said? Who? Jesus said. There's you Christians telling everybody they're going to hell. Look, I got to admit, it is one gnarly announcement to make. But I didn't make it up. And by the way, this is why in the not too distant future, the Bible's going to be illegal in America. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. What? That goes against our humanistic existential belief system. That's offensive. Of course it's offensive. It even said in the Bible, the Bible's going to be offensive. It already expected the ACLU to be around right now. It doesn't change the truth. You guys, it cost him his life. He wants you to go. So come on, let's go. I don't want to. Well, then stay. Well, I don't want to. Well, then go. You got to choose. Nowhere in God's wisdom is our responsibility alleviated. We need to respond to his wonderful offer.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Jesus said in John 17, well, you know what? Under privilege, this is what Jesus said. Our new relationship with Christ comes with privilege in this. In John 17, 9, he says, I pray for them. He's praying to his Father. John 17, 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but those to whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. That is something woven. They're yours, Father. Thank you. You've given them to me. Thank you. I'm in them. We're together. This is the family of God. John 10:27. I love this portion of scripture. John 10:27. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. When you go to Subway and you order turkey between wheat, you are the turkey in between the wheat. Think about it like that. Jesus' hand is above you, Father's hand's beneath you, and you're the meat in the middle. It's the sandwich of God. Yeah, listen, I know that's how I think. It's a big sandwich. The Father's hands are above me, Son's hands below me, I'm safe in the middle. No one can snatch, he says, you out of my hands. We're like a sandwich of the Spirit of God. He's keeping us and protecting us. In John 6:44, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts him to me and draws him to me. And he says, gives him the desire to come to me. The Amplified Version of the Bible says, and then I will raise him up from the dead. Radical statement. Awesome stuff. Privilege. Third and final point, and we'll end with this. Checking in means this, that we're checking into a new happiness that's through Christ. And that's the true meaning, happiness. How so? Through Christ, it means happiness is available. You need to hear this. Then he, Jesus, turned, verse 23, to his disciples. That's not the 70, that's the 12. He turns to the 12 and he says to them privately, blessed, the word is happy. Happy are the eyes which see the things that you see. All this stuff's going on, all this wonderful reporting. Jesus, as it were, turns like this to the 12 who are listening. Not the 70, but to the 12. And he says, blessed are your eyes, for seeing the things that you see. This is amazing. I hope you guys are catching this. Peter, get out your camera. Somebody write this down. This has never happened before. He announces to them privately. How beautiful is that? Blessed. Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. The word blessed means above all others, extremely favored, special, a limited edition. You're the only ones to see this. Everybody wants happiness. It's put within us. Everybody wants happiness. Jesus says, happy are those whose eyes see the things that you see. Church, listen, we'll be done quickly. Everybody wants happiness, but I'm wondering, even in this time, in this age, if we even know the definition of happiness anymore. What is happiness? Can you imagine if we were to take a poll? What is happiness? Well, just jotting down a few thoughts that you and I have already thought about. If I had more money, I'd be happy. Then why are so many rich people so unhappy? Well, then it's the people in my life. If I just had different people in my life, that's not the fix. I want things in my life. If I just had things and security, then I'd be happy. And boy, as a pastor, I shake my head. I want a man in my life, then I'll be happy. And then 6 months later, she wants him out of his life, but out of her life. But, oh, if I just had a woman, then I'd be happy. All these things are not sins. They're not bad. But if God's not first, they can be disastrous. And I got to tell you, everything I just listed, let's be honest, they will give you temporary happiness, guaranteed. A woman, a man, money, things, people, those things will give you temporary happiness. You know what? It may be okay with us, but it's not okay with God to have our lives so shortchanged. God wants our happiness to be huge. You look at the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Blessed are you. Blessed are those. Happy. See, we run around this world grabbing things, thinking that they're going to make us happy. The sooner you learn that none of those things will make you and I happy, the first step you're on to finding out that it's only Jesus who can make you happy. This is key and critical. Happiness is available, my friend, right now. Secondly, happiness is fulfilled in him. He says, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it. How privileged can we be? I'll tell you what, how privileged we can be. How incredibly blessed can we be? How fulfilled can we be? Look at us. Church, you and I have the truth. There are kings in this world who do not have the truth. I walk, you walk, we should always walk in this world shocked, in awe over this. I've been to the Kremlin. I've been to the White House. I've been to Buckingham Palace. So what? Do you know that it is more lofty and holy and amazing to go maybe to a little college in Ireland of a man who knows God and loves God than kings in this world? It's fake. It's flawed. Why? They've got all the power in the world. They have all the wealth at their disposal. They've got all the position, and they're not happy. And not only that, they're not complete. Verse 24 says, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. The prophets of old, King David, others, even people living today have not heard what you've heard. And this is the danger. Church, we're done. Listen, you and I have the ability to pick up this Bible and to read secrets from the mind of God. And if you're dead, you just could blow it right off. I don't see anything. I didn't hear nothing. There's eyes and there's ears that cannot hear. Then there are those who longed to know what you and I know. Did you know? Watch this. We're done. In fact, we're done. We'll bring the worship team out. Listen to this. There are things that you have in your mind, memorized things of the scriptures. And John the Baptist didn't know those things. Isaiah the prophet, he did not have the amount of Bible that you have right now. Isn't that wild to think? You and I have heard so much. We've seen so much. We live in an awesome time. We're going to see a lot more, and we're going to hear a lot more. But God is faithful. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, for your truth. Lord, there's going to come a day when we will check in, when we will stand before that great, holy Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, to receive in these bodies the things which we've done for your glory. We'll be checking in. We'll be checking into the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be checking into the scene above in heaven, angels, the apostles and prophets and all those who have looked to you in faith. We'll be checking in. And Father, for some of us in this room, we may be checking in sooner than we thought. For some, we pray maybe for all of us, Lord, today you'd come and we'd all check in together in a group check-in. But Lord, your Bible says that we are to have this place reserved in heaven for us simply by the asking. And right now, I want to ask you, this morning, friend, you heard, you read Jesus say, rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. That's a statement of fact. Do you know that today? In the name of Jesus Christ, I can say it is his will and desire that you know that today. If you don't, please don't leave this building, but accept Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for your sins on his cross. Receive his life and forgiveness that he offers freely. Exchange your life for his. Give it to him now. And just like someone who has been bought on the marketplace, well, you were bought at the cross. And say to him now, Lord, I'm yours. I'm not a slave by duress. I'm not a slave by coercion. Lord, today I want to make myself your slave of love, to thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life, hope, and a future. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to apply the righteousness of your dear Son to my life. I accept him. My friend, if you've prayed that prayer right now this morning, when this song is over, I want you to just come up to any one of the pastors or ushers or meet me in the foyer and say, I prayed the prayer. Just say it. I prayed the prayer. God will do the rest as you behold him. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called Checking In. Thanks for joining us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's time at this, still the new part of the new year. We're still into it. It's great for us to stop right now and just get realigned in prayer. And I just want to pray this for you, for us. Lord Jesus, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would lead and guide our Real Life Radio audience. Father God, that you'd give us vision, passion, and Lord, that we would experience more and more that separation from this world while we're in it. Cause us, Lord, to be so filled with the commitment of heaven that we might be on this earth spiritually beneficial. God, that we would be active and busy about our Father's business. So, Lord, we pray that you would move in our lives. We come to you right now and we just offer up again this rededication to be completely used by you in however and whatever area you'd have us to be used. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.